stumbling around here someplace, and of course, I think he's back there working on our weapons of mass destruction. Uh-oh, here he is, the doctor of all truth, Dr. Caldenberg. How you doing?
Pretty good, especially great news when I hear that Bush's war campaign's all falling apart. His cabinet members are exposing him. The CIA basically said he was full of crap, that Iraq had no connections with bin Laden, and they found papers in Saddam Hussein's bunker, which he told his men not to have anything to do with Al-Qaeda. So all the, you know, no weapons of mass destruction, no link to Al-Qaeda. And then his Bush, with that guy that on 60 Minutes, his cabinet member went in there and said that all this was planned even before 9/11 and
he
stuff.
He did that, yeah.
Yeah,
he
so.
He did that. But
everything's falling apart for the president.
I know, but, you know, I would almost bet you 2-1 that he'll be reelected.
I don't know. You know, one thing.
It's the South and the Midwest and all those true
believers. But you know what's going to get him, though? Is people were talking about this in the gym this morning that, they were going, well, I can't believe what Bush, you know, these were Republicans, you know, white, middle class, upper middle class Republicans. They're saying, I can't believe what Bush is doing in Mexico and stuff. You know, it's just like he's selling the country down the way. So then I butted in and just gave him my 2 cents, which they were just kind of like,
But your 2 cents is more like 50 cents.
I know. Well, I just kind of pretty much laid it onto him. They didn't disagree with me. It's just that I think they never heard anybody. I even was talking about how the Wall Street Journal, you know, the neocons and stuff were social Marxists. They were international capitalists and social Marxists, how the two were coming together and that they're putting this whole internationalism and make one big world community, the global village and stuff, and there's really no difference anymore between the Democrats and the Republicans. They're both universalists and stuff, and they're just kind of going,
Well, you know, Hillary just, Clinton this week just said she was very happy she was born and lived and was raised in a middle-class white neighborhood.
Oh, really?
In the 50s.
Whoa.
So I thought she was younger than that. The 50s? Hell, I was raised in the 50s.
So was I.
But anyhow, she said that.
Well, you in the 50s? Well, I was very young in the 50s.
Well, in the 50s, I was 10, 11 years old, and I lived through my teenage years in the 50s. I know what it would seem like. You'd think they'd be running them out of town on a rail.
Mm-hmm.
But I have absolutely no confidence in the long-range retention of any information by the average sheeple boob, you know?
Well, I see that this National Alliance guy from down in Georgia, I believe it was, Chester Dole, he pled guilty to a federal firearms charge, and I think he was trying to, they probably threatened they were going to throw his wife in prison, too. But, you know, they had collected $75,000 for his legal defense, of which I advised it. Or at least take that $75,000 and give it to the wife and kids, because he's got 11 kids. So, anyhow, here is his attorney. He could have got a free federal defender attorney. Well, you know they're going to get him for something. They will never let you just walk away. Yeah. And, of course, but it would have been interesting if it had gone to trial.
You know, for $45,000, I would have pled guilty for it. I would save him quite a bit of money. I could have put guilty just as much as a $75,000 attorney.
That's true, I guess.
Actually, I would have done $10,000. If he's guilty as hell, Your Honor, throw his ass away.
Wait a minute, I don't understand what you're talking about here. You lost me.
They pay an attorney $75,000 if he's going to plead guilty.
Yeah.
I could have done that.
Yeah.
You know, I could have called it up from here. You know, gave me $5,000 over to call up and just say he's guilty, throw him away.
Oh my goodness, you're such a mean man.
Well, it doesn't make any sense if you're going to play guilty to get a lawyer.
He's a mean man, this guy, man, this Dr. Caldenberg.
Well, no,
that's that. They had that stupid Bob Barr, that conservative from down there. Mm-hmm. His claim to fame was standing up for the Second Amendment. You know, he's got a Jewish law partner, and so they were going to. You know, well, we'll take care of this good American. Well, they did. They walked away from $75,000.
Like when I got the traffic ticket. You know, I knew that I was guilty, even though it pissed me off, because even it was a stupid law. But it would be stupid for me to hire a lawyer if I was going to plead guilty anyway to a traffic ticket. So that I just went and paid it, saved myself $75,000.
Well, that's true, but there are times in the legal system where a good lawyer can be of help.
Yeah.
But if you, like with me in our civil trial, if I'd have been able to get the $100,000 that they wanted to defend, mm-hmm. somebody wanted to defend me, well then, what the hell, I wouldn't have had a house left anyhow, so.
Well, yeah, my point being, let's say in Portland, you paid $100,000 for a lawyer, you went up to Portland, your lawyer goes, Your Honor, he's guilty. Just, okay, boom, he's guilty.
What's the point? So I'd owed him $100,000 and he'd have taken my house too.
Yeah,
rather than deed.
If you know you're going to plead guilty, why get a lawyer?
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, a lot of these lawyers don't know how to plead a case in court before mm-hmm. a jury.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of them are just settling.
They always want you to mm-hmm. make a deal.
Yeah.
Make a deal. Hey, last night on the Law and Order, they had a show about a young white Irish boy in New York City.
Uh-huh.
Turned out that he was going around and throwing gasoline on
the
Arabs and burning them up pretty bad, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he just hated Muslims or Arabs.
Yeah.
And so he was doing, and boy, but all the cliches came out about racism and everything. And then that stupid Ice-T that's on that thing, he was in the room with the guy, says, well, I don't know where I'm from, man. In Africa, we moved around, we mixed up a lot. Who knows what I am? He says, it's in a few years, it won't make any difference anyhow. None of us are going to be one color. We're going to be all the colors, you know. That's what Ice-T said. I want to reach in the TV tube and choke his neck.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, he is a high yellow.
Yeah,
he can't call himself a black man.
He's a mixed breed. He fit in the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But actually, the worst ones are the whites that are on these shows.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the women detectives.
Yeah.
Most of them I can't stand if you ever watch any of that stuff. Whoa, they really are. They act all like they're a bunch of lesbians. Well, have you seen any good movies lately, Dr. Kaldenberg?
No, well, we talked about The Lord of the Rings the last one I saw, The Return of the King. That's the last I saw.
I haven't been able to convince my ass that it can take it to sit through a three-hour movie.
It only seemed like an hour to me. I thought it was really good.
Well, I'll try to explain it to my ass again, and maybe we'll go.
You can stand up. You can stand up for an hour. You can sit down for an hour.
I think I'll need a drink before that thing's over.
You can get your sword out there and pretend like you're fighting those colored monsters.
I'll take my flask. Maybe that'll help me get through it.
You know, what's amazed me about the Return of the Kings is all these black people, they look at these monsters. To me, they don't look anything like Negroes at all. They look at them and they say, hey, look at those ungodly beasts. They're vile. They're disgusting. They're us. They're portraying us up there.
They go strictly by darkness.
Yeah.
If any kind of thing, animal or human, is darker.
I mean, even look at the trolls. You look at the trolls. Does the trolls really look like Negroes? They look like frogs. I thought they looked more like frogs than anything else, you know? Not French people. I mean, like, just hopping in the pond frogs.
I didn't see that.
Well, the trolls were the big ones.
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh.
Because I haven't convinced my ass I can stand it.
They got these things that look kind of like elephants, except they're huge.
Yeah.
Or what if the niggers say, oh, look at there. They're dark. They must be niggers, too, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the Jews will probably look at that movie at the ADL, and they say, oh, look at the noses on those trolls. They're attacking Jews. It's an anti-Semitic movie.
Absolutely. The boys in Hollywood called me and said, don't tell anybody, Tom, but this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Especially the elephants, because they have real big long noses. So
they're definitely kikes.
Yeah, the kikes.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny, talking about the kikes paranoia movie? That Mel Gibson movie's coming out Friday.
Mel Gibson?
About Jesus.
Oh, the Jesus movie?
Yeah, I guess they took all the quote-unquote anti-Semitic stuff that was in the Bible out of the movie.
In other words, there were no Jews involved in anything.
No. I guess they're going to turn them into Norwegians or something.
Well, he spent a lot of money, but you know it's going to be a flop.
I don't know. I bet you even the right-wing Christians will flock to it, because it's finally a Christ movie. And I'll be there to cheer. I think I'm going to go see it just to cheer Pontius Pilate. I'll be applauding and stuff, whistling.
Well, I liked the Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool.
I thought that was one of the best movies I ever seen.
And the Life According to Brian, that was probably the most accurate.
That was great.
You know, I saw that in Colorado when I was going to college, and there was a big fundamentalist Christian community there, because a lot of them are Mennonites, and they were having a protest there, and there was a whole bunch of Jesus freaks out of the theater, and there was only about six of us from college to go there, because everybody was afraid to go through the line, so I went in there, and we almost got in a fight with the Jesus freaks, because we kept telling them Jesus was a faggot and Pontius Pilate was a hero and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
There's only six of us, and there's all these Jesus. We thought we were going to get in a fight with them. None of them would do anything. They were just giving us dirty looks and stuff like that. We went in the movie. We had the whole theater to ourselves. It was Friday night. And had six people seeing the life of Brian.
You're a troublemaker from way back.
Oh, yeah. Kind of like a punch out some Jesus freak.
Hey, speaking of something like that and changing the subject, I hear you got a website for all this, for all this, woden, wooden, spookum, bookum stuff.
Yes, yeah, spooksun cyberspace.
What is it?
It is www.heathenfolk.com. I was going to get Pagan Revival, but then I checked on the internet and no website of Pagan Revival was up there, but some asshole bought up the URL.
Some kite.
Yes, there's a Jew that wants to buy every racial thing, so I think he says, this Pagan Revival may become a racial site, so he bought it up. So I can't use Pagan Revival, but I changed the Heathen Folk.
Isn't that funny the way they like to fight?
Oh, yeah.
They fight by mass telephone banks calling people to harass them.
Yeah.
Or they do something like this where they buy up the URL.
Think about it.
They're like a very effeminate, bitchy women.
Yeah, exactly.
The Jewish men.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But what's weird is, you know how much money the Jew must have spent to buy all these urals?
It doesn't make any difference.
I mean, he must say, this could be a possibility. White power could be this and this and this. And he buys them all up, and, you know, he's probably spending tens of thousands of dollars to buy up urals that nobody has any intention of using. You know, when I found out Pagan Revival was made, it took me about 3 seconds. I just go, I'll just call it Heathen Folk.
Yeah.
You know, it took me about 3 seconds to change my mind.
Change your mind.
You know, it's not like it would stop me or anything.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot of people on the internet looking for Pagan Revival.
Well, if I had to, I'd say Little Orphan Annie, and it goes there would be a Nazi webpage. Who cares, you know?
I was even thinking of big-breasted women or something.
Big-breasted women.
That'd probably get more hits.
Thinking of big-breasted women. Yeah, man.
But it's kind of weird how petty they are, and they think they really accomplished something, you know?
Well, that leads us to this deal with the billboard down in Florida, where the National Alliance, they like to do that kind of stuff and put their address on, and then you write in, and they'll send you the da-da-da-da, and then they want you to join. And
that's not a bad idea to put your address up on a billboard, though.
It isn't, no, as just a general business practice.
Yeah.
And that's, we went through that years ago. But anyhow, if you're looking for the masses, and you have no control over who you're going to be in contact with. And a lot of guys like that, I guess. Who will get next? They had the billboard up there for about 2 weeks. It was nationwide news.
Yeah.
I know Sean Walker was on the local radio station, everything. Okay, all right, even though I don't know. I'm getting jaded or something. But anyhow, the JDO and Mordecai Levy.
Oh, is he still around? I thought he went nuts.
I thought he was in jail. I know his mother died in a nut house, Mordecai Levy. Well, anyhow, they got on a phone bank and started harassing evidently the guy that put up the billboard, the businessman. And he took it down because it was just too much. He couldn't handle that. So here you go.
You mean the businessman took it down?
The man who sponsored putting the National Alliance.
You mean the guy who paid for it or the guy that comes and did it?
Well, it was his billboard, his land.
Oh.
Because it didn't say anything. Now, the company that handles billboards, the Billboard Association in Georgia or Florida, condemned it because we do not have anything to do with this kind of thing. But this must have been his own private billboard or whatever. But anyhow, he took it down. Now, this hurts us all. We got to have more balls than this. If I had a sign up here along the highway, I'd have to sit out there probably with a shotgun to protect it. And I've had signs up before, but I wouldn't be intimidated into taking it down.
I told you like that, you know, on the stickers to put the war website, just put resist.com.
Because
I put those stickers all over the place. And it's kind of funny because they'll rip the racist stuff off. But then they'll leave the address there. And so
right.
You're looking at just the war address up there.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. People, if they want to spray paint something, you know, if they want to spray paint a wall or something, instead of putting white power, just put resist.com and stuff. It'll stay up there a lot longer because people think it's an anarchist.
Yeah, that's true. But my situation is they spend all this money, put up a billboard, and then they run with their tail between their legs. And I don't think that is a good thing because it's a reflection on all of us.
Well, it was the guy who paid. The
guy who paid for it to be up there took it down. And, you see, we can't let these creeps pressure us.
We had that same problem with the Odinous Fellowship in L.A. when Mike Kinghorn was head of it.
Yeah.
He had this Odinous phone line. You know, remember, I don't know if you remember that. It's about 1980 or something. And Irv Rubin called him up and threatened to kill him. he took it off and never put it on again.
Hell, I've had a foam machine on now for how many? 30 years. Yeah. And they call up.
Funny when your daughters are really young and stuff. They'd pick up the phone, and they'd be 5 and 6 years old, and there'd be Mordecai on Levy on the line, give them death threats, and they go, "Dad, it's the creeps again."
Yeah.
I mean, how many times they did that, they'd go, "It's the creeps, it's for you."
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, shall we go to the calls, Doctor?
Sounds like a good idea.
See what our fans have to say.
Makes you think there is hope for the white race. Sometimes I think we ought to just give up. Scorched earth policy is also an option.
Now, come on, man.
There's a man of my own
heart. Come on, man. You're as negative as Dr. Kaldenberg here.
Well, to me, what I think is the West, the United States, Western Europe, we're basically the Alamo to Russia. The only hope we have is maybe Russia and Poland survive. And I think that the industrial West is doomed.
Well, that may be true, but our race has been through mucho, mucho troubles throughout the time.
Yeah.
We won against the saber-toothed tigers.
Yeah, but the big difference is if the white race wanted to win against the saber-toothed tigers. Nowadays, if a saber-toothed tiger attacked any white children or something, people would be applauding and would be screaming at the white children would be being so hateful for running against the tiger. They should love the tiger.
That's true for right now, Wyatt, but you have got to have faith, as the Christians tell you.
You're an atheist. You don't have any faith at all. You don't have any faith at all.
I am of the opinion that when times become right, and I don't know when they're going to be right, people become barbarians once more. And they have to, because the few barbarians will eat them up if they don't. Mm-hmm. And I believe that is the way nature, the pendulum swings.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's 5 years or 10 years or 50 years or more.
5,000.
Not 5,000. I don't think we can handle 5,000.
Well, I don't think realistically that there will be an Aryan uprising for the next 5,000.
There already has been an Aryan uprising. Haven't you heard of Robert J. Matthews?
Yeah, but
that was the beginning.
That was an
Aryan. It's in there.
And it's not really a mass Aryan uprising. You know, a couple people will rise up here and there, but I think the only way that the masses will rise up is 5,000 years from now, and all the masses are intermarried into the darkies, and there's one or two white people left, and then they will rise up.
Yeah, does Odinus and Wotanism, does that teach that? Is that the kind of negative stuff that you're putting out there?
That's the truth.
Why is it the truth? I've got a sword out there that is tall as you, and I will loan that sword to you, and I'll drive you down to the ghetto, and let's go.
Yeah, but like it will be me fighting the niggers, and it'll be the white race saying, "Oh, how evil! Go, niggers, get them!"
What do we care what they say? That's our big problem, and that's why people keep...
What my point is we have to get rid of the masses. They're our worst enemy. Like Mao said, that the masses are both the cause and the enemy at the same time. The white race is our cause, and the white race is our greatest enemy.
Okay, so now how many million do we have to get rid of?
Oh, probably about a billion. How many white people are there? About a billion?
I don't know.
If there's 50...
Wait a minute, you want to kill off the white people?
Yeah, I mean, they're worthless.
Well, there's people among them. There's our kind among them. They're out there.
What are there, 50 people on the planet?
They're out there.
They're worth a shit? Maybe 100.
Give me 50 people that take the country, man. Come on. If you have no judgment, and you have no guilt, and you are a homicidal maniac, you can do it.
I'm basically that. But if there are 200 decent white people on the whole fucking planet, I would be in shock.
Oh, man, you are so negative,
Doctor.
I mean,
most white people are disgusted.
Well, why will you put up a website at all, then?
Well, I'm looking for the 200.
It's worthless to fight.
It's the hope against hope that Dr. Kaldenberg would be wrong.
It's not hope at all. I am absolutely certain that the white race, the part that counts, will at one point become what we've always been before, the most vicious beast on the face of the earth. Now, we had men in World War II who were like that, the Himmler and those boys.
Yeah.
So it's not impossible for these kind of people to rise up. And they will rise up, but it's nature is going to have to help us.
I hope the good doctor is wrong.
I hope he is too. And meanwhile, he can pray to his little spooks.
Well, little spooks are like the greatest drugs, and drugs drive you crazy. We need crazy people.
Well, why aren't they helping us now? Why, you know,
there's not enough crazy
Jesus is not doing anything for identity people,
we're
right?
On the cross.
And what's Odin doing for our race right now? I'd like to ask you, when the fuck he's coming down here on his horse?
He's not. We have to do stuff for him.
Well, piss on him. He's up in a cloud, sitting on a cloud there, eating a hog leg or something. What the hell? Why do we have to please him?
Well, the thing is with religion,
we have to worship.
Is that people are basically chicken shits. You know, like atheists.
Well, gods are too, because they won't come down here and fight.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. People are basically cowards.
I know.
Religion is the greatest drug that grows balls on a chicken shit.
I see. So, but are we doing the same thing with Odinism?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. The only thing that matters is the end result. Because, like a 9/11, did it matter that if there's 72 virgins waiting for those guys? It really doesn't matter because there's 3,000 people dead. It couldn't matter less if any of that Islam stuff is true.
Well,
the end result is Islam is a kick-ass religion, and Islam has a very good chance of overwhelming the planet. Why? Because a bunch of screwballs believe in it. And screwballs control history.
Well,
you know, if you're really smart and wise, you're just going to sit in your butt, eat your Cheetos, and watch television. Because that's a smart thing to do. To go out and fight the system.
Well, I got a chance then. Because I'm a screwball.
You know,
everybody I talk to, they say, you're a screwball.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what Ziggy used to say. He used to say, people used to say, oh, Rockwell just had a bunch of nuts. And he goes, well, anybody who'd go out in the street and get in a fight would have to be half nuts anyway. The SS was half nuts to get in the street. Why not just sit down where it's safe? You'd have to be crazy. The Vikings, to get in a longship and go from Scandinavia all the way down to England and get away from your wife, take a chance of getting killed, take a chance of nothing, you'd have to be half nuts to do that.
Well, it wasn't too bad back then. Those areas of the North Atlantic were like a lake back in that time.
But can you imagine, Leif Erikson and all those guys who went across the Atlantic Ocean, had no idea where they were going, had no idea if the earth was round or flat, if they were going to fall off and get ate by a dragon. They had no idea, but they did it anyway. It had to be half nuts to do that, but they did it. And history is made by people who are crazy. Columbus was a nut.
So why aren't we out at the nut houses recruiting people?
That's true. Well, isn't that what Rockwell did? Got a bunch of people.
Well, I do know that Don Musgrove told me when they had the Oakland Suicide Squad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, talk about being a bunch of crazy motherfuckers, having a National Socialist group in Niggertown, Oakland, and having the big fucking swastika and a picture of Hitler there saying white power.
Yeah.
Talk about being happy. And they were the ballsiest people that some of the ballsiest people that the Aryan movement ever.
Well, the one guy, I told you, he ran over, he was in a car park, and he ran over the mailman because he didn't bring his check.
Yeah. Well, I liked it when the Black Panther Party went on the television and said that they were going to run the Nazis out. So the Oakland Suicide Squad got in their car with their guns and went down to the Black Panther Party, and some nigger second settled over. He says, we don't want any shit with you white boys. Go away.
Yeah, they had these little mattresses that the Nazis did, and they had their guns, and they came right out in front of the Black Panthers, and they said, come on out, boys. Come on, Bobby. And they said, we got no fight with you. We got no fight with you.
Crazy people are the greatest thing in history.
Well, I think there's more crazy people being bred every day.
Right.
Look at this guy on the TV show last night. He just found Muslims and threw gas on them and burned them up. And before, he stuck a pipe in them, and then he did it.
Well, how about that? Did you hear that today that a 21-year-old Muslim world, a woman, a mother of two kids, I guess she went on a bridge and blew herself up in a bunch of Israel, a bunch of Jews. Yeah. And talk about being a nut. She didn't even take time enough to think of who's going to take care of her kids or anything, but she's basically changing history because now they're shutting down the bridge and they're getting what they want because none of these race traitor Palestinians are going to go to Israel to work in these factories. So they shut down the factories. The Israelis don't have any cheap labor and stuff. I mean, she's this crazy woman, but she's basically shaping history.
So you agree with me?
Yeah, I love
that white people can be just as crazy as anybody else. I have ultimate faith.
Uh-huh.
Look at James Earl Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these guys like that. Great. Tim McVeigh.
Yeah.
Tim McVeigh. I mean, you can. They say he was nuts. They say these guys are nuts, but they achieved their objective, didn't they? Yeah, baby, we're not done yet.
Oh, yeah.
And that reminds me that we're celebrating also this month John King Day. So we're celebrating a King Day.
Yeah.
And that's John King down there in Texas, was it? Who took that nigga for a ride on the back of his truck.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. John King. Uh-huh.
Hey, there's my teacher, this big, fat wigger. He's only a couple years older than me. He's been teaching my history class. He's been filling our heads with a bunch of liberal bullshit. But I keep trying to tell him how, the sick are taking away our jobs and stuff, you know, from hard-working class Americans. And he keeps telling me all this shit about, oh, well, they're just jobs that nobody else wants, and they're not doing any harm, they're taking jobs that everyone else is too lazy to take. And he keeps telling me shit about, you know, land, we're all a land of immigrants, and all this other bullshit, even though I try to tell him about nationalization, but, well, how should I respond to this bullshit? Later.
Well, it's easy. We may have been a nation of immigrants way back, primarily white immigrants, even though that was mainly fueled by the need of the big fat cats for workers. But things change. I mean, you don't run a country by the same rules you did 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Even the Constitution, I don't care what these right-wingers say. It's outdated, and there needs to be changes. However, the problem is it changed for the worse.
You know, they keep repeating these lies about all their jobs that nobody wants, like, you know, construction workers, like brick masons, like doctors. You know, the Orientals come over here. They're doctors. The medical professions fill up with doctors. They work cheaper than an American doctor. So they're taking the jobs we don't like, you know, being a doctor, running computers, Silicon Valley's filling up with gooks and people from India and stuff. We don't want those jobs either.
Electricians.
We don't want to work in the oil fields. We don't want to work in the lumber yards. We don't want to, you know, work on construction roads. Basically, we just don't want to work. We're too lazy because they want our jobs.
Well, and, of course, the other thing, too, is they want us to work for slave labor wages.
Yeah.
You know, who fought the wars for these damn fat cats in this country?
Mm-hmm.
Primarily white people fought and died. It's their birthright, not anybody else's birthright, to be taken care of a little bit, you know, that these white people will take these jobs. It's a lie. And there's all kinds of studies now to show all kinds of things, like in L.A., how many, 40,000 murders or something that are very probably by illegal aliens, and nobody's going to jail for them, and they run down in Mexico. And they tell the cops they can't even hold them or anything like that. Well, that gives them titles of nobility.
Oh, yeah.
It's against the Constitution of the United States, which I say is dead as a doornail, to give people titles of nobility. But yet, the minute they come across the border, they're given titles of nobility.
Mm-hmm.
But I keep hearing these people on the radio and everything whining, whining, whining. They've been whining. Man, when I was doing this demonstration stuff in the early 70s, they were whining. And in the 80s, they were whining. There's only one person did anything about it, and that was, I'm trying to remember his name, that went down to the McDonald's stand down there and by the border and wasted about 15.
San Ysidro?
Right down downtown by the border.
What was his name? McDonald?
No, it wasn't McDonald. But he strapped on his guns and went down there and wiped them out. I mean, you know, look, I'm telling you, everything seems to have to get to the point where there's violence before anything happens now.
Yeah.
Now, for good or bad, violence will be the answer at the border.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is no violence, then things are just going to go along like they are. And even if there was violence, then the government would probably send the army and everybody else in to kill the people who are trying to defend our border.
Oh, yeah.
And now the border patrolmen, who've known this immigration program was a scam for decades.
Yeah.
It's always been a scam. And now themselves are even coming out publicly and saying things they didn't say before.
Like what? What do you mean?
Well, that it's all a scam.
Oh, yeah.
And that this pepper belly lover president of ours, he is just giving the whole thing away. He is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have somebody next to this guy,
yeah,
like a ventriloquist.
Well, I was listening and on the radio, and they were talking about, actually, they were saying that Dick Cheney is actually the, well, I guess it's the guy, this cabinet member that went on 60 Minutes.
Pearl.
Yeah, he was saying that Dick Cheney was actually the one running the presidency, that Bush is just basically too stupid. It's, you know, it's like, what is it, a bunch of blind people talking to a deaf man or something.
Well, did you hear his response about the guy that was in his cabinet that turned on him and wrote a book?
No.
Well, the response didn't even have anything to do, really, with what he, what the man had done or said. Mm. It's sort of like he's just in la-la land,
yeah,
out there, you know? And everybody, most of the people in the world know that.
Hearing from some white warrior females. We need them as lone wolves. Take care. 14 words.
Well, I think if you want those women, you're going to have to go out and drag them in by the hair, like in KD Rebel. In fact, we do have KD Rebel. I'm not sure whether that's a scaled down version or what. It's about 60 pages.
Yeah, somebody was talking about reading a bunch of chapters.
Yeah,
you didn't have done a bunch of chapters.
I guess they were maybe short chapters, but
oh,
anyhow, the one I've got, people are looking all over for it, and if you want to send us $10, I'll send you a copy of KD Rebel by David Lane. It's not a big, thick thing, but it's pretty good, and it talks about getting women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, you know, we're going to go on whatever we do. There's quite a number of women out there that are, if they're active, they're really active. I just finished doing this documentary with the BBC, and the one lady there with her two daughters, and I'm not going to mention names, but boy, she is really good. I hope she sticks with it.
You know, have you ever read Livy, the Roman historian, who was a senator? Well, he wrote the early history of the Roman Empire, and he said that the early Romans were basically a bunch of skinheads. They were a bunch of pirates and wild, drunk, fighting guys and stuff, and they didn't have any women. So one of them got a real bright idea that this one tribe down the street had, you know, they all had women and stuff like that. So they decided to have a big party, basically a beer keg party, and they invited them over and they were feasting, and they got them all drunk. When all these guys were drunk, they killed all the guys and they kept all the women. So that's how basically Roma was found, because I forget the name of the tribe, it's called the Rape of something.
But
they invited this tribe and they slaughtered and kept all their women, and then they founded the city of Rome.
Today, that'd be the niggers would do that.
Yeah, well, the Mormons did that. The Mormons used to do that. They used to dress up like Indians and stuff on wagon trains that came through Utah. They would attack and kill all the men and take the women, and they'd have, you know, polygamists. They'd try to get the elders to have 9 wives apiece by robbing wagon trains of the women.
Okay, so now we got that straight on how to get the women.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's how the Romans did it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the first Sherlock Holmes novel, I think it's called The Sign of the Four. It's about that. It's about a bunch of Mormons. This guy sends his fiance out west on a wagon train, and a bunch of Mormons dress up like Indians, and they hit the wagon train, and they kill all the guys, and they take the women, and they basically rape his wife, and then he follows them all around the world, and they eventually follows one of them to London and kills them, and that's how Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Holmes are on the murder trail to figure out who did it, and they found out it was a revenge for a Mormon.
Oh, yeah?
Killings,
well, also, Jack London,
mm-hmm,
he writes about it in that, what's the name of that book, about, you know, the prisoner who's in...
Oh, the Star Rover?
Star Rover, yeah. Mm-hmm. Star Rover, he talks about
how
the Mormons used to do that,
yeah,
and kill all the people on a wagon.
Well, that's how everybody
went. He didn't like those Mormons.
Well, that's how everybody used to wonder where they used to get 9 wives and stuff. They used to hit wagon trains and get them. That's because, you know, women are basically half the population. They're not, you know, 9 women to every guy. So
yeah,
that's how you get 9 wives.
Yeah, and then the next step is trying to figure out how to get rid of some of them.
Yeah, get rid of the in-laws.
Yeah.
Here in Arizona, the immigration issue is really hot. Boy, I tell you, the talk show hosts are yelling at each other. Some are for the guest worker program, and others are raising all kinds of hell against it. Like I say, the average white person down here who bought a $200,000 home, and they see these mestizos encroaching on their gated communities, they're getting pretty scared. They're getting nervous, angry. This thing's going to hit the fan, either in southern Arizona, southern California, or Florida, but it's definitely hitting coming to the boiling point. Sooner the better. Take care in 14 words.
See what I told you? They're getting ready, boy.
But are you sure it's not going to be like South Africa? Remember, everybody says, oh, it's really going to blow in South Africa. It's going to blow. What did they do? They went out in the street and they marched around the corner. And that was about
That's because they follow the right wing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those guys doing that in this country. Yeah, the right wing will always sell you out.
I just hope that, you know, when the things blow, I hope it doesn't blow into an organized demonstration around the block. Cause
I think of it just like the movie that's now on DVD called Open Range, which is a good movie.
Yeah, that's a damn good movie.
Where the star of the movie comes walking into town. He says, "You're the guy that shot my partner."
Oh, that's so cool.
And he just, bam!
Yeah, the guy said, yeah. Usually it's a big drama thing. Just shot him in the head, didn't even let the guy pull
his gun. I love that. No talking, nothing.
I love that gunfight, because that was basically how it was. Bullets flying everywhere, everybody missing. You know, I watch the Western Channel a lot because I record them for my dad and stuff. And it's amazing how in gunfights there, every time, almost every bullet of the good guy hits the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, in real life, you read Louis L'Amour, even, histories and stuff. I mean, most of those gunfights are basically just like a drive-by shooting and stuff.
Well, even a back shoot.
Yeah. Well, Louis L'Amour said that he could not find, like how Gunsmoke, the other two guys, dun-dun-dun-dun, out there drawing. He said he could not find one instance in the American West where two guys stood in the middle of the street at high noon and had a draw. He said he could not find one.
They would have considered it stupid.
Oh, yeah. Because if you think about it, even if you're a half a second or 3 seconds faster than the other guy, you hit the guy and kill him, that's not going to stop his bullet from hitting you. So no. There's just going to be two dead guys in the middle of the street, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that would be the dumbest thing to do.
It would be, because you want the advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets up on top of a building behind a chimney there.
That's what Louis L'Amour says. Most gunfights happen, like you say, one guy walks up and shoots the other guy in the back, and that's it. You know, OK Corral, that was the famous one, and basically the Earps and stuff didn't give the guys a chance. They just start drawing, just start shooting. They told him to get out of town with the Claytons.
Well,
told the Claytons to told them to get the hell out of the town, and they didn't have their guns.
The sheriff told them, but they took their guns anyhow.
Yeah.
The sheriff told them they couldn't have any guns when they went down to the corral, and they told the sheriff they took their guns off.
Yeah.
But they had guns.
I was reading something about it, and it said basically Doc Holliday was the first. He had a shotgun. He shot at him because I guess it was Virgil Earp was telling them that they had to get out of town, and all of a sudden Doc Holliday whoops out a gun and shoots. I think was it Billy Clanton? I forget when it was shot, one of the Clanton boys, and that was kind of the. But it wasn't like a fair gunsmoke fight.
Well, technically, the Clantons had a higher moral position than.
Oh, the Earps were scumbags, even though I was named after the most famous of the Earps.
Yeah, man, come on.
Callers are saying they're looking for good places for white settlement. I would recommend New Hampshire. That's a very white, traditionally conservative state. So I would recommend, if you can get to New Hampshire, do that. Lately, here in the Northeast, there's been a lot of swastikas being spray-painted on synagogues. And it turns out that all of these acts of Nazi vandalism have been committed by Jewish kids. So more proof that a lot of Jews secretly hate the fact that they're Jews. And I just like to point out that Saddam Hussein, he was a much better father. He did a much better job raising his daughters than that stupid idiot George and that douchebag Laura Bush did raising their daughters. Saddam's daughters are a lot more polite and civilized than the spoiled brat douchebags that George and Laura produced. So thanks for your great message, and check out New Hampshire and Maine. Those are great states for white settlement.
Well, one thing I do know, the Iraqis had the highest literacy rate in the whole area, and the women were much freer in Iraq and so forth. And a lot of people don't seem to realize that under a non-believer that kept all these divergent people from killing each other, actually, underneath, things were pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Osama bin Laden called Hussein infidel. So he doesn't consider him part of the Muslim world, all this bullshit that the Bush administration is saying, they're in league. They don't like each other.
No.
It's just like Gaddafi. They don't like Gaddafi either. They think Gaddafi's an infidel.
Yeah.
Because he's not a strong enough Muslim.
Yeah, okay, and also now this going to New Hampshire and Vermont. Now, I've known people that go up there. It's beautiful, very white, and of course, Dean is getting his ass pushed around because of it. And, at Sharpton, somebody needs to take him by his ears and slap him around again.
Well,
I was on a team.
Did you watch
I didn't back down to that son of a bitch. Yeah. I've debated him before.
Did you watch that debate? Is when Sharpton was bringing all this stuff that he doesn't have one nigger. Oh, I got it. I was waiting.
I heard
it. Dean, why doesn't Dean have the balls and turn to Sharpton and says, Tuana Brawley,
yeah,
fucking nigger, You made up this rape thing that didn't happen. You're a lying son of a bitch. You're paranoid. You're nuts. You know, those white people didn't rape her. She made that up, and you backed it. You're the motherfucker that was behind
it. These guys, you know why? Dean is afraid of white liberals and Jews.
Oh, yeah.
None of them are really afraid of niggers, even though that's the way it seems.
Yeah.
They're afraid of white liberals and white guilt and Jews, and the, not all the Jews. They, that's what they're afraid of, but it's sickening how this, he is such a maggot, Sharpton is, and he stands there and just goes after these guys and they let him do it.
I know.
And then at news media they say, oh, Sharpton really did a good job.
Yeah, they never bring up, you know, like the, I guess a couple of days ago, Sharpton's finances hit the thing and Sharpton's been pocketing all this money. You know how not one of them, those white candidates that brought it up, they're terrified to say that, well, the guy's a thief. He's an embezzler.
Yeah.
You know, if it was a white guy, he would have been in prison.
That's true.
You know, it's kind of amazing how they don't have any balls. Even when it's to advance their own career. I could almost understand they don't give a shit about the white race, but at least they'd advance their own fucking career.
I would think so. Well, Dean sure showed his colors in that deal, because he'd been pretty much coming out and just saying things off the cuff, you know, and they were giving him hell for it. But there was a perfect example of putting that little toad where he belonged.
Like I say, all he had to say was two words, Tawana Brawley.
Right.
Say nothing else. You see, Tawana Brawley.
Well, when I forget which show I was on, where he sat within about 3 feet of me, and I turned over to him and I said, you know, why are you screwing your own people? You know you're screwing your own people. And he just looked out in the audience like he didn't want to talk about it. So anyhow, I wish he'd have tried to punch me, a little fat fart. I'd have knocked him off the stage.
Terrible Tommy, I'm just wondering when you're going to speak out about this faggot, Walter Buehler, that's running a so-called revisionist conference in Sacramento on April 23rd, 24th of this year. This guy is a complete fucking homosexual. He completely, you know, attacks white nationalists. He was applauding skinheads being arrested in Germany. This guy is poison. Somebody needs to talk about this guy. All right, thank you.
Well, I've been giving hell anyhow as far as the revisionist movement, where they've taken in millions and millions of dollars and they're not doing anything to help the white race. I've known for a long time that the revisionist movement was full of race mixers and guys who've married non-white women, and Jehovah's Witnesses, and of course Scientology has had a big foot in there for a long time, and so I don't know how much of the money gets over into that, but they get these guys that are coming in here from Australia, New Zealand, all over the world, spending hundreds of dollars, probably thousands of dollars, and they're going to go on and on about how many Jews was killed in World War II. Now, who cares? That's over. I don't care. If they hadn't started this revisionist shit up, it'd probably be all forgotten by now.
Oh, yeah, because Spielberg said that the only reason that he made Schindler's List and got away with made Schindler's List is to combat the revisionists, because people basically go, oh, my fucking God, another Holocaust movie, and their Jews say, because of Holocaust revisionism, we've got to get a counterpoint out there and say, okay, because of those fuckers, you can have another Holocaust movie.
I don't know. He said the man's name was Buehler.
I never heard of him.
I never heard of him, but maybe it's Mueller. I think there was a Mueller hooked up with National Alliance, too. But I just saw something come over the Internet, some anti-revisionist outfit in Germany, but it's in German. I wasn't able to read it, and they were going on and on and on, and I could see key names and so forth. So anyhow, it's the entire thing is sickening. I know where the money has come from, and I know where the money is being pissed away. And so I don't think we're going to promote their little get-together. And if I went up there, they might not even let me in.
You know, it's weird about Holocaust revision. It doesn't do any good. Like even with my parents, like I can talk to my parents about immigration problems. But the minute, you know, when I was really, about 20 years ago, when I was really new in the movie, I'd bring up Holocaust revisionism. It'd be the end of the conversation, because then it says, well, you're a liar. It's not true. And you lose all momentum. You don't gain anything. I don't know one person says, aha, because of Holocaust revisionism, I'm going to be a white racist. You know, the thing we should do is to look at the crimes of the left, all these things that the communists did, and expose them, because then we could make alliance, because then the Russian people would be happy, the Ukrainians would be happy. We could even become friends with the Chinese people. There are a lot of Chinese nationalists that are really pissed off what the communists did to them. Nobody cares. Nobody cared what happened to the Cambodian people, even the Cuban people. There are a lot of Cuban people who were murdered. You know, we ought to bring up that, and that way we could make an alliance with the Cuban people or something. But, you know, with the Holocaust revisionists, who are we going to hook up with?
Look, David Irving and Zundel, all mm-hmm. these people, they can't stand us working
oh,
class
yeah.
races.
Oh, yeah.
They hate the skinheads.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
They anything like that. But they invite these mm-hmm. kosher races,
yeah.
like the National Alliance people. Mm-hmm. They show up there, and all these people, they're working both sides of the fence. And I see a lot of good people on our side catering to these people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize they're doing absolutely nothing for the white race.
With David Irving, the story like that, a friend of mine, the National Alliance, says I guess they invited him over to some East Coast meeting, the National Alliance. And David Irving was a speaker, and after this the speech, I guess he went in, it was some lounge, and he was in the bar to have a drink, and this National Alliance guy went over to sit next to David Irving, and he says, "No, I'm not on. Go away."
Oh, well, I know a lot of stories like that.
Can you imagine you said, "I'm not on. I'm not
yeah.
Tom Metzger, the white
yeah.
racist.
I'm
having a beer.
I won't drink a beer with you.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
out of here."
What a bizarre thing, because basically what he's saying, he says, "I'm not real.
Yeah.
When I'm on, I'm that character, and this is the real me, and
yeah.
the real me doesn't like you, so get the fuck out of here."
Yeah, well, Zundel said he couldn't stand the Nazis, he couldn't stand the skinheads and all that kind of crap. Well, now he's going to have to pay the price,
yeah.
and there's nothing we can do for him, and maybe his supposedly Jewish wife can bail him out of this.
Yeah.
But I think she's spending all his money that he got from all these... Eastern European and German people, the old people. That's where.
Well, that's all they're trying to hook up. They're trying to hook up with all these Waffen SS guys that think that Holocaust revisionism will get them their war pension back.
Yeah.
And all these old guys are dying. So what do they have? Really? Because even those are the ones that are dumping all the money into
those guys are useless.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
mean, I saw on History Channel the other night they had about the Hitler Youth trying to hold off the enemy at Berlin.
Yeah.
And this one guy was in on it. He was just ragging on his superiors and everybody
yeah.
else because they was crazy enough to try to save Berlin.
Yeah.
So these guys, believe me, I think I would go to many people besides a German to try
yeah.
to recruit anybody.
Like I say, a lot of the Holocaust revisionist thing got started because these Waffen SS guys, and they got denied their pension because they were called war criminals, and they figured, oh, if we support Holocaust revisionism, we'll get our fucking pensions.
But you know, these right-wing racist organizations,
mm-hmm.
like the Alliance, they play both sides of the street on this
mm-hmm.
thing, and they cater to the revisionists, like they are white racists too.
Yeah.
But most of them are not. In fact, very few of them are.
Right.
And the ones that are, like Hans Schmidt, I believe, years ago, backstage, when we'd meet, "Oh, you're right, Tom. You're absolutely right." The boy out in the public,
yeah.
no way. He would never get tough.
Ancient Aryans come from the Middle East or Europe? Thank you, 88.
Well, I answered this on the other little show during the week, but what do you think there, Wyatt?
Well, from what I've read, most anthropologists say that the Aryan race, they either came from Central Europe or Russia, maybe both. You know, I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
probably a wide landmass. And the ancient Persians said that they came north of Europe, which could actually be America, or it could have just been that ancient people went from Europe to North America and back again.
I have this opinion
mm-hmm.
that part of the Aryans stayed in Europe during the glacier era,
yeah.
and we do know that they
mm-hmm.
they were there, and they were hunting along the glacier edges
mm-hmm.
because it was great hunting. And I believe half of them, or whatever percent, went east over into the Eastern Europe,
mm-hmm.
and then I think they came down around the Mediterranean, and that's when they developed Persia and then Egypt and all and then they came back, some of them back
mm-hmm.
up into Europe,
mm-hmm.
and then they warred against each other, but really they were the same people.
Well, Discovery Magazine had a good article about a year ago, and they said during the Ice Age that the water, the ocean dropped, and that the Mediterranean was basically dry land, because all the ocean water went into the ice.
I think it was that low. Huh?
Yeah, well, they said a lot of it was dry land. It was just like a big valley. And they said that you could walk from Europe to North America
oh.
over land.
Well,
and about 30,000 years ago, they said that
Aryan people were basically walking to North America and back. And I think the religion Zarathustra teaches that the Aryan race, there was a paradise north of Europe in the North Pole, and the Aryans came down from the North Pole. I think what they were talking about is probably that the early Aryans walked over when the ocean was lower. They just walked to North America, and when the Ice Age was melting, they couldn't walk again, so they had to come over the glacier caps, and that's the re-entering of the Aryan into Europe. So that's probably what Zarathustra is talking about when we're talking about the Aryans coming down from the North Pole. You know?
Well, the point is, in this book I'm reading now, which has a lot to do with the pyramids and this constellation of Orion, mm-hmm. and how the pyramids are based in relationship, supposedly the moon and Mars and Earth and like that. I get the, my point was that they're saying that history is so much older than what they say. I mean, let's face it, even today, even though most of the people who don't really believe the Bible still will use almost a biblical chronology of like 7,000 years.
Oh, 5,000.
But in fact, the history of this world goes back, actual history, hundreds of thousands of years, and now they're saying they can see some of it on the pyramids, where there was a lot of floods and everything, and it's in the bases of the pyramids, they can see all that.
They found Homo erectus, man, was 100,000 years ago, that he had a burial with flowers and okra, that red clay, and they said that proves that since they went through some kind of a ritual, that they had a religion 100,000 years ago. Which basically means they had society, and Homo erectus was basically an ape man. It wasn't really a man, it was, you know, just basically an ape that walked up erect. So if we had a religion, you know, 100,000 years ago, you know, that means civilization is a lot older than they teach in even a lot of the schools.
Well, the fact is that peoples have been transversing this earth for hundreds of thousands of years at least. And you got them going everywhere. And look at all the Aryans they've dug up in China and the desert and all that kind of stuff.
Or in Seattle.
So I how do we know even that there weren't cataclysms and that destroyed almost everybody and it started all over again, you see? So we've got a lot more homework to do on this. But I think that's a pretty good description.
They're finding a lot of stuff. Like they find a wooden Stonehenge in Germany. And there's a lot of debate on the community, like the Ukraine. They say that there's a civilization in Ukraine, but since they didn't build with stones, because like in the Middle East they had stones, they didn't have a lot of trees, you know, in the desert, so they built with stones. Stones last forever. But in Ukraine, they built with wood, and wood rots, so they leave less traces, but they're kind of thinking that maybe civilization may actually started in Ukraine.
Well, what was it? Not about a year ago or 6 months ago, I mentioned on here that this, in Germany they found something. It was an astrological, like a clock.
Yeah, it was like a star chart. Yeah. It was the oldest. What was it, like 5,000 years? It was a star chart.
I think
chart.
It was more than that. Yeah. It was very extremely old.
Yeah.
You know, which proves that everybody's going to go everywhere. It has been happening for tens of thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And the secret is, he who has holds.
Yeah.
This is our land. No, it's only your land if you can hold it.
Oh yeah. It used to be our land.
it can return to being our land if we conquer it and take it over. It don't make any difference whether China is China.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to conquer it and we're strong enough to do it, we should do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if we want it. Look at the Palestinians and the Jews over there. Now, if Israel, the Jews are strong enough to keep it, okay, they got it. But if the Palestinians outbreed them, well, they'll get it back.
You know one thing I don't understand about the Jews? If I had an Aryan homeland, I wouldn't stay in California. If it was in Russia or China or anywhere, I would go there. I'd get the hell out of this
even place. With the bombing and everything.
Yeah, but the Jews, they have their own homeland. You know how hard it is to get a Jew to go to Israel? Especially that, you know, they want to come to Southern California, New York, or Miami.
Pretty easy to get them to come back, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't want their own homeland.
No.
You know, basically, they want other Jews to go to Israel. They want to stay here and live off the goyim's tit. So, and they talk about actually working class Jews are the ones who go to Israel and live in this kibbutz. And all the capitalist Jews stay here and romanticize about Israel. It's kind of a bizarre situation.
It is very bizarre, and it points out the schizophrenia of the Jews. They don't know what the hell they want.
They got a homeland they should go to.
But now they have infected our race with it.
Yeah.
We used to know pretty much what we wanted.
Yeah.
But the white race is acts just like the Jewish type thinking. And
you know, it's funny because all these Jews are going, oh no, Israel's going to be lost. Our homeland's lost. You know, they're sitting in Beverly Hills and stuff. Well, why don't you get your ass to go to Israel and fight for Israel, you son of a
bitch? Well, I that's what I've said to people like Zundel, too. You're worried about Germany so much? Well, go fight in Germany.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they'll put me in jail. Well, we'll get out of jail, fight some more.
Yeah.
I mean, I never had much use for these people that go halfway around the world and then say they're trying to save some country they came from.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody respects that, and especially when these, czars and kings and people used to flee the...
Yeah.
When you flee the country, you've thrown in the towel.
But sometimes, though, I can see if you have, like, a revolutionary outpost, because Karl Marx and Trotsky and a lot of the... Even Lenin, you know, they left Russia. You know, Lenin went to with Switzerland. You know, Karl Marx and Trotsky went to New York, and Trotsky eventually went to Mexico. If you use it as a springboard, because it's not safe for you there, but with Israel, it's basically safe to the Jews because it's ran by Jews. You know, maybe there's some bombing, but how many people actually get bombed every year? You know, so it's actually safe. They can go there and be safe. And there's little no danger, but they won't.
I
can understand a neo-Nazi it's too hot for him to live in Germany when it comes to L.A. and basically run a German movement. I don't see there's any problem.
Yeah, but I would constantly at least be trying to get back in.
Yeah.
But look, I don't think that works. I think when you're an expatriate, you're through. Trotsky, he was through because not only had he lost his power, he had a lot of power while he was still in Russia, but there was no chance with Stalin firmly in control to get back in.
But,
remember all those emigres that lived in Paris, all these the czars, people, all that kind of shit, and they pretended they were
still
kind of Russian.
Yeah, they had the balls.
Yeah.
They were going to get back in power.
Right. Again. I think that's bullshit.
People are still around.
Can even die and become a figurehead.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in a country, fight to the death, and at least they're going to say, hey, this guy was a real hero of the people or something.
Yeah.
But when you flee to another country and then claim how much you're doing for the country you came from, well, look at all these Arabs that come over here. They don't give a shit about the Arab countries anymore.
Oh,
they don't want to go back once they've had
these Palestinians.
Coca-Cola society.
Yeah, they live here and they really don't give a shit about Palestinians.
Once they get here, they could give a shit less.
Yeah, they just want to do coke and fuck white women.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. As usual, we're short on tape.
No.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.